And you can listen online at talkinglifestyle.com.au from anywhere in the world. We appreciate your company, whether you're in Perth, Brisbane, Melbourne or Sydney. This is Better Living with Ed Phillips, and we've been eyeing off the recent scientific statement from the American Heart Association, which concluded that meditation may actually help lower your heart disease risks. Where do we go? We always go to Dr. Joe. Dr. Joe Kostrich is on the line to tell us more about this one. It's really interesting. Hi, Dr. Joe.
Oh, good afternoon, Ed.
Mate, I think we sort of knew intrinsically with the rise and rise of yoga and everybody really enjoying it that it can lower our stress levels, perhaps even aid with depression. But now another big tick, lowering our heart disease risk. This is great.
Yeah. And look, all of these things are a little bit tied in together in as much as this work, which like a lot of work in isolation, doesn't prove a lot but builds on a body of work, is we know that people who meditate regularly, it is good for stress. And one of the things that happens when we're stressed is our blood pressure goes up. We release more adrenaline and cortisol, which are our body's stress hormones. And we also know that that tends to separately be a factor in inflammation and also in heart disease. So if we're doing something that reduces our adrenaline and cortisol production, if we're doing something that lowers our blood pressure, if we're doing something that lowers our breathing rate, if we're doing something which calms our mind so we're not worrying and we're not as wound up, then it pretty logically follows that all of those things are going to help reduce the risk of us having a heart attack. Now, it doesn't mean that people who meditate cannot have a heart attack or that people who don't are guaranteed to get it. It's one of the things about medical studies, it's never black and white.
Yes.
As humans, we sort of like just give me the answer, but it's not quite the answer. But if you look at that in totality, it makes a lot of sense. The other great thing about meditative practices is that there is no downside. I mean, there is no side effect. Now, I've got to put one rider on that. It's not a good idea to do it while you're driving or whilst you're operating heavy machinery. I mean, mm-hmm. There's a time to do things and there's a time to not do things. But if you are sitting in your chair at home, if you're sitting in the backyard, or you can do it lying down, the worst thing that can happen whilst you're meditating is you may not off to sleep. Of itself, it's not the end of the world. But there's no side effect, and there's no expense. Look, you can go to, and you mentioned the top yoga classes, you can go to organized sessions. I mean, I know some of the Buddhist organizations in different cities will often run free meditation centers, but sessions. You can download apps, you can, go online. There's lots of free stuff out there that you can do. You can do it for 5 minutes, you can do it for 10 minutes, you can do it for 30 minutes. There's no set time. And just to clarify, absolutely, you don't need a cave and you don't need to wear anything orange.
Such a relief to hear. And meditation means no medication. It's a drug-free practice, just harnessing the power of your brain, which probably releases a whole bunch of other chemicals, but naturally, it's got to be a good thing.
Well, we can. This is one of the things that often in medicine, by necessity, we are fighting against something. And if you look at a lot of medications, we have antibiotics, we have anti-inflammatories, we have antidepressants. So often in Western medicine, we turn the body into a bit of a war zone for all the right reasons and sometimes necessary. Eastern medicine tends to look at things a different way and says, how can we harness the power of the body? How can we work with the body? And how can we encourage it to do the things that are going to be better for us than worse for us? And, to that extent, a meditative practice is harnessing the body's capacity to lower its own blood pressure, to reduce more of the endorphins, which are your happy hormones, and produce less of the stress hormones without needing to take any medication or, if you like, do something or put something externally in, just using what the body can do, but adjusting yourself to enable that to happen. I mean, the analogy is a bit like we can all exercise, but it only happens if we do it. If we do it, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, then we get the benefit. The same with these meditative practices. Some people, the idea, the word has certain connotations. Mindfulness is sort of the same thing under a different guise. Guided relaxation is sort of the same thing under a different name. So it doesn't really matter what you call it. At its core, it's slowing your breathing down, looking to still the mind, maybe focusing on your breathing so you're not thinking about your power bill or your due, you know, your deadline at work or, you know, what you're going to do next Tuesday. You're focusing on your breathing and you're slowing your mind down and you're having a little bit of me time.
This is wonderful. And we spoke yesterday with a sleep expert as well and how it can also aid with our anxiety and panic attacks as well, just getting your breathing under control. Dr. Joe, I appreciate you're an integrative GP, but I'm very impressed that you're embracing this meditation side here. Also noted the outrageous leggings aversion. However, this is very good. This is very good for your growth too.
Oh, look, very much so. And I suppose, again, people get a lot of labels. The concept of integrative medicine, I suppose, as it's been developed in different countries, is saying, let's integrate the best of what we know from around the world. So let's look at what's good in Western medicine. Let's look at what's good in Eastern medicine. Let's look at what's good in natural foods. Let's look at what's good in non-medical treatments. And let's see if we can integrate all of those things. So essentially something like meditation, like exercise, like good diet, is a key hallmark of an integrative practice. And it's saying, that's not saying that you don't necessarily need medications, but you know what? Maybe that's not the first call, and maybe that's not the only thing we look at.
Yeah. What do we know about time frames? Once we learn how to meditate properly, it results fairly immediate, I would have thought.
Most people, even if you just stop and take three big breaths in and out over a 5 to 10 second period, and I've done this at times when I do talks or, you know, lectures, and say to people, right, well, just how did you feel before and after? And as little as that, people say, look, I just feel a little bit calmer, just a little bit more relaxed. So, you know, the effect can be fairly immediate. That said, you know, the effect can also wear off because we're constantly moving to the next thing. If you get into a regular practice over weeks and months, then in Europe, they've done a bit of work that shows that, you know, some people have been able to consistently lower their blood pressure. Some health insurers in Europe, because their system of private health insurance is different to ours, some of them actually offer lower rates to people who, A, don't smoke, and B, do regular meditative practices. Now, if insurers are offering that, and they're the ones paying at the pointy end,
yep,
that sort of, you know, and people can say, oh, well, they're trying to save money. Well, nope, fair enough.
They're hedging their bets.
Premium, yeah. I'll take that. but what it says, and I think it screams in very loudly, is that insurers have noted some sort of difference from actuarial studies, and that probably tells you quite a lot.
Yeah, that's a big result. All right, Dr. Joe, it's always great to chat to you, my friend, and we will chat next week.
Look forward to it, Ed.
He's the integrative GP. He's open to these sort of things, except the outfits. DrJoe.net.au is his website as well.